Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Bless the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Gracious God, illumine these words by your Spirit that we might hear what you would have us hear and be who you would us be, for the sake of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. So usually when I prepare sermons, I look through the lectionary, through all of the passages for the week, and I pray and I meditate on the passages, and the Spirit guides me towards something that speaks to our context. Or maybe it shows me what God is trying to tell us or me. But this month, I'm going to be trying out a sermon series. Throughout September, we're going to be looking at different passages about love's capacity to overcome obstacles. We know that Jesus told us to love one another, and that's not usually so difficult when it comes to people that we know, usually. And it's also not as difficult when things are going well in our lives, right? But it becomes much, much more challenging when it comes to strangers, or people that we don't particularly like. And it's even harder still when we have been hurt or betrayed. So that said, overcoming conflict, finding peace, despite what other people do, is an opportunity for us to reflect on the unconditional love of Jesus. You know, Jesus, the one who loves us despite the ways that we have failed. And my hope is that this month of sermons will help guide us towards the practice of enemy love that Jesus preached about. I know you're all thinking, hey, I don't have any enemies. And it might be that you can't think of a particular person that you hate. I don't know, maybe you can. At the very least, we have been living with a lot of political animosity in our country. And while that's not exactly new, what I am seeing more frequently is that these divisions are a lot less about thinking our side is good, and much more about hating the other side. And I'm convinced that a lot of that stems from our preconceived assumptions, our refusal to engage in controversial and uncomfortable conversations with people on the other side. To be fair, there's nothing like a common enemy to pull people together. It's human nature to want to avoid someone who is different or deemed an enemy, people who just aren't like us, who offend us, people who might want to hurt us physically or emotionally. I mean, we definitely don't want to reward someone like that with our love. And yet in our passage today, Paul is calling the church to do exactly that. To live as Jesus did and as he told the crowds to do. Love your enemies. Pray for your persecutors. As followers of Christ, we are called to a higher standard. It's not easy. It takes practice and intentionality. But most of all, it takes the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When I taught undergrad and Sunday school or led youth retreats, one of the very first things that I would do is I would have the students create their own ground rules for how they would engage with each other, kind of like a covenant, if you will. And it would include things like, you know, don't interrupt, arrive prepared, don't bully, pay attention to the person talking, just like basic respect type things. And in this section of Romans, Paul is basically doing the same thing. He's creating a covenant for the members of the church. He presents us with a list of behaviors, and there it's like just all these imperatives, sort of one right after another, that are just directing us as Christians in how to embody genuine love, mutual regard, humility, solidarity, peace. And the first thing that Paul does is he tells us that our love for each other must be sincere. It's not this superficial love. It's not just about like just these warm feelings, but love as like the verb. Love as a verb. Practical care that we provide each other. And this sincere love is also not about showboating or loving someone just because we think we might get something out of it. We prioritize each other above ourselves. And we're to persevere in prayer and practice hospitality. Again, this is the easy part. And typically, yens are pretty good at it. We don't always agree on everything. Sometimes we get frustrated with each other. But I do see how deeply you care for one another. And you are fervent prayer warriors for this community. But then Paul transitions to a much harder part. We can't simply focus our love on those within the community But we also must turn our gaze to outsiders. And that's hard enough, right? Like, just intentionally focusing outward. But then Paul continues that we're supposed to bless those who persecute you. Hostility is to be met with prayer and violence with blessing. Paul isn't saying anything new here. It's firmly rooted in the words of the Old Testament, the example of Jesus himself. When we are hurt, insulted, maltreated, we have the example of Jesus Christ, who, even upon the cross, prayed for forgiveness for those who were killing him. I don't expect you to be exactly like Jesus. You are not partially divine. I get it. But what Paul is saying is that repaying evil for evil, revenge, that is unacceptable. Yes, it can sometimes feel very satisfying for a moment. But here's the thing about our enemies. They're just like us. They're just like me and you. They're human. They make mistakes. They sin. Just like we do. But above all, they too are God's beloved children. We need to trust God to take care of any needed vengeance. When we are consumed with vengeful thoughts or even put those things into practice, what we do is we just keep that evil in circulation. It just keeps going around. So Paul goes even further. Not only are we not to take any sort of revenge, but we're to provide our enemies with food and drink.
Well,
seriously. If I can't enact revenge, can't I at least just, like, ignore them and let them lie in the bed that they've made for themselves?
No.
But that's the thing. Evil can't be conquered by evil. Hatred met with hatred only increases hatred. And the only way to overthrow evil is to take its force away from it and to give back a platter of goodness. The only antidote to the poison of hatred is love. So Paul tells us that actively loving your enemies, caring for their physical and spiritual needs, that will heap burning coals on their head. And there's a lot of different explanations as to what this means, but I think we've all experienced that hot discomfort of realizing that we've done something wrong, or that we've hurt someone. That fiery ache when our pettiness is met with graciousness. We don't call it burning guilt for nothing. It's really uncomfortable. But it also drives us to change for the better. When we feel guilty, we're more likely to consider the experiences and the emotions of other people, and we're more likely to change our own future actions. So today I talked about how we, each of us, individually and collectively are to respond to evil and to our enemies. And basically, the gist of it is that it's to fight evil with love and to avoid vengeance, because that's no one's business but God's. I get it. That's much, much easier said than done. It takes prayerful guidance from the Holy Spirit and examples from within a loving community. And also it takes practice. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I will be away next week, and the Reverend Tom Clifton will be stepping in. But when I come back the following week, we're going to continue to talk about loving our enemies, and we're going to see how God responds to evil and how God responds to our enemies through the story of Joseph and his brothers. Until then, hold tight, practice love. Thanks be to God. Amen.